Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama We are all here by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founding spiritual master of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Can we get some more volume?
Oh, yeah, volume.
you've got to crank up.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Crank up a little
closer. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada was perhaps the 32nd prominent spiritual master coming in the line from Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to his disciple Brahma, from Brahma to his disciple Narada, from Narada to his disciple Vyas, and in this way, through that chain of teachers and students, through Srila Madhvacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is accepted as Krishna himself, come again in the form of a devotee of Krishna. When Krishna came to this planet 5,000 years ago, he instructed Manmana Bhava Madhbhakto. Manmana means engage your mind in thinking of me, Krishna. Krishna speaking, the Bhagavad Gita. Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. Mad Yaji, worship me. And Mam Namaskaro, offer obeisances unto me. And if you do this, you will come to me. And then Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mam Ekam Saranam Praja. Give up all varieties of religiousness and just surrender unto me. Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Isyami. I will relieve you of all sinful reactions, free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. These two verses are very important. But hearing the philosophy is not as effective as seeing an example of someone who is following the philosophy. And therefore Krishna came again 500 years ago as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, this time in the guise of a devotee of Krishna, to show us how to fix our mind on Krishna and worship Him and serve Him and surrender unto Him. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy was recorded and expounded upon by his immediate followers, the six Goswamis. And in this way, the knowledge was passed down through the line to Srila Prabhupada's predecessors and his immediate spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur instructed him that he should teach the knowledge of Krishna consciousness in the English language, the world language, to people in the Western countries and ultimately throughout the world. And Lord Chaitanya himself had predicted 500 years ago, Prativite Ache Jato Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatra Prachor Hoibe Marana, that in every town and village of every country of the world, my name or Krishna's name will be sung and preached. And even in India, even among the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, devotees could not imagine that this could actually happen. It seemed unbelievable. They took it as maybe some sort of metaphor or poetic expression of sentiment, but not something that could actually happen. But Srila Prabhupada took that instruction of his spiritual master deep in his heart. And at the age of almost 70, he celebrated his 70th birthday at sea. He took a steamship from India to America, to New York. He suffered two heart attacks on the way. And he began this movement for the education and reformation of the whole human society. And he sat down under a tree in Tompkins Square Park in New York City and chanted Hare Krishna and spoke to people about Krishna, about the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. And he later told his disciples that anyone can begin Krishna consciousness in any part of the world by the same method. You go to any central place and sit down and chant Hare Krishna. And when people gather around to see what is this crazy fellow doing, then you tell them about Krishna. So the we are so fortunate to have come in touch with Srila Prabhupada and his mercy. We can't even imagine where we would be were it not for him. At least I would not want to try to imagine it. And the state of the world is such that pretty much everyone is being influenced by the materialism of the present age. Practically no place is exempt, no family is exempt, no individual is exempt. But Srila Prabhupada's mercy, or Lord Chaitanya's mercy, is so powerful that even in this terrible, degraded age, people get strength to resist the temptations or allurements of Maya, which is the illusory energy of the Lord that is meant to bewilder us, conditioned souls, and keep us in material bondage, falsely thinking, I am the Lord and Master, I'm the proprietor, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. And we all have this attitude within us. We may not be aware of it, or we may not want to admit it, but we are in the material world really because we wanted to take the place of God or imitate God. So it, and that false ego, that false conception of who I am and what the world is and what other people are, what I'm meant to be and what I'm meant to do, that has been with us for a very long time. Since time immemorial. We can't even remember. And it takes time to reform that consciousness. Very few people are even interested. It's described that in the modern age, people are so materialistic that they don't even care for spiritual life. And people in this age are so unlucky that even if they have some interest in spiritual life, they may very well come to a false so-called guru or teacher and be misled. So it really is a great fortune to come in touch with the disciplic succession, which is, you've all heard defined, coming from Krishna in an unbroken chain. It's described that when God, or just like a person, something may have fallen on the ground, and so to pick it up, he'll extend his hand and grab it. So in the same way, when some soul falls into the material world, and God wants to pick up that soul, and he wants to pick up all of us, all souls, they're all his parts and parcels, his lost children. He extends his hand in the form of this disciplic succession, the spiritual master. So it is a great mercy, great mercy. And we should take advantage of it by following the process. And as I mentioned earlier, the process is basically to fix the mind on Krishna, become Krishna's devotee, worship him, and bow down to him. And that scientific process is described in a book by Srila Rupa Goswami called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada translated as a summary study as the nectar of devotion. And the nectar of devotion describes step by step what a candidate should do to progress in Krishna consciousness. And there are 10 do's to begin with, 10 do's and 10 don'ts, and then another 44 processes, which comes to 64. But the beginning is Sri Guru Padashraya, that one should take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master. One should Dikshati, one should take instruction from him and receive initiation from him. And one should ask questions. Sadharma Prichati, one should ask questions about eternal spiritual principles. And these are considered the most basic, preliminary, and essential items. And from there are other, so many, 9 processes. And of those 9 processes, the first is hearing, shravana, because we've been hearing. And Srila Prabhupada said the same thing, just from a different angle, exactly what His Holiness Ratatvaja Swami said, and His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami said, that learning comes from hearing. Students go to school, college, university. The process is hearing. They go to the classroom and hear. Even reading books is a type of hearing. So everything begins from hearing. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada established these centers and published these books so people would come and hear. Everything follows from that. When Srila Prabhupada returned to India, he had a very big, you could say like a tent, open-air tent program in Bombay, about 20,000 people were attending every day. And then it was so successful, he sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to arrange a similar program there. And at the time, Calcutta was in the grips of Naxalites. They could say they're like young communist terrorists. They would, sometimes they would just kidnap the son of a rich man and hold him for ransom. Sometimes they might even just shoot a rich man dead on the streets. So Calcutta was in a very, they were very alarmed and frightened. And many prominent people were leaving Calcutta and going to Delhi. And so in this atmosphere, we came to put on this program for Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had a press conference, and a lot of the press was in that sort of communist mood, sort of atheist communist mood. And so one reporter asked, what is the use of spending all this money on this big, elaborate arrangement? What are you going to achieve by that? You know, the implication being, you could have used that money to, like, feed poor people or whatever. And Srila Prabhupada replied, what will it achieve? It will achieve hearing. And he said, this whole elaborate arrangement that you're seeing has come from hearing. Some young men and women heard me. And because they heard me, they have felt inspired to make this arrangement. And that is a fact. Everything begins from hearing. And then when you hear, as Srila Prabhupada would say, following his Guru Maharaj, one who hears nicely, he can speak nicely. We're not manufacturing anything new, we're repeating what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada and our predecessors. So the Pandal program, that big open air tent program, opened. And it's a general system that the central area of the tent has Indian carpets called duris. And then on one side there was like a special section with chairs. And I think it was for our, you know, supporters and patrons. I think anyone who paid a rupee could sit on a chair. So there was a delegation of Naxalites who, like, they were like objecting. You know, why should some people sit on chairs and others sit on the ground? Everyone should sit on the ground. So to disturb the program, they started gathering these chairs together, wooden folding chairs, and banging them together, making this big clatter or commotion. And so we were looking to Srila Prabhupada, like, what's he going to do now? And he took the microphone and cleared his throat and, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. He was just completely depending on Krishna, and he just began to sing the holy name of Krishna. And from our perspective, quite miraculously, these angry young Naxalites, they became peaceful and they started to open up the chairs and place them nicely where they were. And I guess they either stayed or left. They didn't cause any trouble. So these two processes, hearing and chanting, are very powerful. And anyone can do them, anyone can feel the effect. But in order to get the best effect, in the most sustained way, one should follow certain regulative principles. Now, these regulative principles are quite different from the general materialistic way of life in most countries of the world. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada first, even before then, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, had sent some disciples to England. And in England, there was one Lord Zetlin. He had been, I think, a governor of Bengal or viceroy of India. He had served in India. And so he approached one of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disciples. Can you make me a Brahmin? A Brahmin means like a teacher, spiritual teacher who also performs priestly functions. He said, yes, we can. You just have to follow four principles. No eating meat, fish, or eggs. No taking of intoxicants. No gambling. And no illicit sex. And Lord Zetan replied, impossible. So Srila Prabhupada imagined that when he came to America and introduced these regulated principles, they will say, thank you very much, Swamiji, now you can go home. But miraculously enough, by Srila Prabhupada's ardent desire and his spiritual master's ardent desire and Gaur Nitai's desire and mercy, these young men and women gave up these four, Prabhupada calls them principles of sinful life. Sinful sometimes has a sort of, may have a Christian connotation, but really it simply means against the laws of God. Just like crime means an act which is against the laws of the state, so in this definition, sin means against the laws of God. And they agreed, and they came forward to be initiated. And in addition to following those four regulative principles, they undertook to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on beads every day. So we have these beads, and there are 108 beads. It makes one round. And so the disciples chant one Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then they go to the next bead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the next, and then that's 108. That's one round. And then you go back and do another 108. That's two rounds. And then 16 rounds. So, this combination of chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles is enough to fortify one in Krishna consciousness, and you could say empower one to share that knowledge and share that happiness with others. And so that's a very basic principle, that one should relish Krishna consciousness, one should taste Krishna consciousness and share it with others. It's like anything nice, if you're enjoying it, it's sort of natural to want to share it with others. Of course, in material life, there's another principle, which is misery loves company. That also operates in the material world. People are suffering, but they really want to get you into what they're doing. So there is that sort of tug of war. There will be those people who wanted, you know, you to keep them company in their misery. And then there will be devotees who want you to share in their pleasure. their bliss. And so that's the mood here to welcome you. You're already part of the family, the spiritual family, Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's spiritual family, but become more intimate, become a more responsible member, and share more with others. So in the chanting there are 10 offenses, das namapara, and I won't comment on them too much, but it's important that when we chant, we're aware of the 10 offenses and try to avoid them. And I'll just read this short list from the Nectar of Devotion, which I highly recommend for everyone. The offenses against the chanting of the holy name are as follows. 1. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. Well, in a slightly different context, but once Srila Prabhupada was giving a talk in Detroit, and a child started to cry or make noise. So Srila Prabhupada said, you know, that the child shouldn't make noise. So the mother started to chide the child. And Prabhupada said that actually in our society, children cannot be blamed or punished. So then the husband began to chide his wife. And Srila Prabhupada said, in our society, women can't be punished. So then the temple manager began to chide the husband, who was a Brahmin. Srila Prabhupada said, in our society, you cannot punish a Brahmin. And he said, actually, in our society, you can't punish anyone. So I'm quoting that on this point about not blaspheming devotees. That, I mean, from a certain perspective, they may have some fault, but really, if they are engaged in the process of bhakti yoga, they have no fault. And we should not criticize them. And there's a whole discussion of that. As His Holiness Rudraksha Swami sometimes said, if someone's in the shower, what's the use of blaming him for being dirty? And he's in the shower, let him finish. Okay, he'll come out clean. 2. To consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Sometimes the atheistic class of men take it that any demigod is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. But one who is a devotee knows that no demigod, however great he may be, is independently as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, if someone thinks he can chant Kali Kali or Durga Durga, and it is the same as Hare Krishna, that is the greatest offense. So this is a very big misconception. It happened in India. India is an amazing place. But there was a weekly called the Illustrated Weekly of India. And the editor then, Krishwan Singh, was a very reputed person. He was an atheist. He was an atheist, and he was one of the atheists with an agenda. So he published an article by an Austrian fellow who had come in contact with some sect in India and had become a sannyasi, and was known as Bharati Maharaj. So he wrote some article, I guess, glorifying Shiva, which is fine. But Prabhupada taught us that we should respond to newspaper articles that were improper or incorrect. So I wrote a letter. And so the way the editor portrayed it, it was like a dispute, like a childish dispute. So he ran the headline, you know, Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And I wrote Srila Prabhupada, and I said, actually, you know, he did this to make us both look bad. And Prabhupada said, yes. Bharati is a fool, but Singh is a demon. Now, demon is probably another word that needs to be explained. But in this context, and in general, in our usage, it means someone who's against God, the devotees of God, the service of God, and like that. So this has become, it used to be more of a problem in India. And Srila Prabhupada, he gave the example of a music school in Germany where the fee was 250 marks. But if you came with previous training in music, the fee was 500 marks. And someone said, why is that? And they said, well, because we have to teach you to forget all the wrong things you learned, and then we have to teach you all the right things, so it's twice as hard. So so many misconceptions, and now with the popularity of yoga and even kirtan, it's becoming like that. It's like people are developing misconceptions that they didn't have, and so sometimes it becomes even harder to like sort of straighten things out. But I mean, that's good that they're coming and chanting. I mean, that's good. But we shouldn't. But it is an offense. This is the point. It is an offense to think that names of demigods like Shiva or Durga or Kali are equal to or independent of the name of Vishnu or Krishna. It's not sectarianism. It's just the fact. They are, you know, in the universal management, Krishna is like, or Vishnu is like the king, and these different powerful personalities are like ministers of the king, but they're not on the same level as the king. They're not independent of the king. So we won't be able to discuss all of them, but I'll just read them. 3, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. 4, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. 5, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Therefore, we should chant properly, then we'll feel the effect, and we won't think that it's imaginary. 6. To give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. 7. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. It should not be taken that because by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can become freed from all kinds of sinful reactions. One may continue to act sinfully and after that chant Hare Krishna to neutralize his sins. Such a dangerous mentality is very offensive and should be avoided. Yes, this is something like in the Christian tradition, people go to the church and confess. And certainly one can get some relief by that act of confession. But it shouldn't be that one thinks, well, I can engage in nefarious activities all week, and then I'll go to church and confess on Sunday and become absolved, and then go back to my nefarious activities on Monday. So that is very offensive. It doesn't work, by the way. It doesn't work. And so the same with chanting. Chanting is so powerful it can relieve you of sinful reaction. But at the time of initiation, one surrenders to Krishna, one surrenders to Guru, one promises not to commit sinful activities. Whatever one might have done in the past is sort of squared off. But then one should not do it again. Lord Chaitanya had two disciples, Jagai and Madhai, who were very cruel and mischievous and sinful. But they surrendered to the Lord and promised to give up their sinful activities, and they did give them up, and they were relieved from their sinful reactions. 8. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karma kanda. That means we shouldn't chant with the idea of getting some material result, like people do rituals to get some material result. But we should do it to purify our hearts, to please Krishna. And 9. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Anyone can take part in chanting the holy name of the Lord, but in the beginning one should not be instructed about the transcendental potency of the Lord. Those who are too sinful cannot appreciate the transcendental glories of the Lord, and therefore it is better not to instruct them in this matter. Actually, this is a very important point. And sometimes new students are so enthusiastic about what they've learned that they go to their mothers, fathers, and others and try to convince them about the truth and beauty that they have discovered in Krishna consciousness. Which actually stems from a good impulse to share what one has gotten, but it can also produce negative results. And therefore this injunction is there. I had this experience with my father. He came to visit me in India, and we were taking a flight from Delhi to Srinagar. And Srila Prabhupada had written a book called Easy Journey to Other Planets, which used scientific language. And it was meant to appeal to the generation who was involved in the space race and basically present Krishna consciousness in a sort of more scientific jargon. So I was explaining to my father a little about what the book said. That by mechanical means, you can travel to other planets in the universe. But, which is the material worlds, but only by bhakti yoga can you travel beyond the material worlds to the anti-material worlds. And as I was speaking to him, you know, I looked at him. I mean, Krishna at least gave me that much vision. I could see he's looking at me and he's thinking, sort of like, what's going to come next? It's like my poor son. I mean, he's already so far gone, and now this, and what's going to come next after this? And I thought, you know, this isn't having a good effect. It's having the opposite effect. And then I just resolved, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to preach to him, basically, because he doesn't have faith. He's not purified enough. So we can engage people in service. But yeah, we have to be careful about this. And again, I'll quote His Holiness Ritatvija Swami. He used to visit his mother at home, and he would, you know, preach to her about Krishna consciousness. And then she would criticize Krishna consciousness to him. And he realized, like, this isn't doing either of us any good, so they made a truce. They made a pact, like, okay, I won't try to convince you in favor, and you don't try to convince me against. And then that sort of, it provided a basis for a more peaceful type of interaction. So, yes. Now, one offense that, number 10. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in this matter. So these two go together. If you have faith in the holy name, that means you will have faith that you can get everything from the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name is Krishna himself. We can get Krishna by offenseless or pure chanting of the holy name. So to maintain material attachments, it's offensive. It's like Krishna's offering himself to us through the holy name. And we don't have faith in Krishna. We think, well, maybe I won't really be happy. Maybe I need this, whatever, money or material things that I think will make me happy. So it's not an offense to have material attachments. I mean, we all come with material attachments. It's an anartha, it's unwanted, but it's not an offense. But to hold on to those, even after hearing like such beautiful explanation by His Holiness Chaitanya Swami about the temporary nature of material things and the limited happiness we can get from them. If we hear all that, but we're really saying, I don't believe that. That's sort of offensive. I don't believe that. I'll try to chant some. Chanting's good, but on the side I'll have this and that going on. And you don't get the full benefit. You know, Krishna's very intelligent. As you surrender to Him, He reciprocates. So if you give yourself 100% to Krishna, He'll give Himself 100% to you. But if you're giving 10% to Him and 90%, you're fooling around with your other investments that you think, like in case the Krishna investment doesn't work, I've got these other investments, then okay. He'll give Himself in proportion to your giving yourself to Him. And then there's another one, not explicitly mentioned, but it's in the Sanskrit, and it depends how the ten are divided, to be inattentive while chanting. And if we at least make the effort to be attentive while we chant, to pronounce each holy name properly and hear each holy name attentively, that will be very effective in purifying our hearts and freeing us from all offenses and material attachments. And if we're negligent in our chanting, and that allows the other attachments and offenses to flourish. And again, this association is very helpful. It's very helpful to chant in the association of serious chanters. It's very helpful. Every devotee who claims to be a Vaishnava must guard against these offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success. Hare Krishna. So I will add that there is a second degree of initiation, or second phase of initiation. The first is the initiation into the chanting of the holy names, and the second is initiation into the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra, and acceptance as being eligible to worship the deity. So to be Krishna's the supreme pure, to worship the pure, you have to become pure. So when someone has been chanting and following the basic principles for a sufficient amount of time, he's given the second initiation. So in our midst here is Krishna Kirtan Das. Many of you know him as a Sunday school teacher here. So this is also a very important event for him. And we ask all of you to pray for him and the others, that they may remain steady in their vows and fixed in their determination and progressive in their Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Is Kandarpa Manjari here? So now, the priest, Rabindranath Prabhu, is leading the participants in a method of purification that involves sipping water and reciting mantras.
Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Namaha.
Om Narayanaya. Om Madhavaya. Everybody please repeat after me. Om Pavitra 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 Pavitra
Lotus eyes with pink personalities. So you'll tell they need to put on their neck beads, right?
Yeah, and, neck beads.
All right. So then they come forward and all right. So now we'll call the new initiates forward to take their vows and receive their beads and new names. So first, Bhakta Brent. So, yeah. Offer your obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and then come back. Hare Krishna. So what are the four principles that you promised to follow?
No meat eating, including fish or eggs. Or is it sex? No gambling and no intoxication.
And how many rounds do you promise to chant?
16 rounds a day.
Minimum. And is there anything else you would like to say on this auspicious occasion, in this august assembly?
Yes. I'd just like to say you've been very grateful for your mercy. And we appreciate all you've done for me. And I promise that I will do as much as I can in your service.
Thank you. So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I'm pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple, and henceforth you shall be known as Balabhadra Das. Therefore, obeisances to Srila Prabhupada again. Balabhadra is a name for Lord Balaram, the original spiritual master. And it's also a name of Lord Nrsimhadev. And we pray to Lord Nrsimhadev to protect our spiritual lives and to tear apart any material desires and attachments that are lingering like demons in our hearts. Bob to Nick. What are the four regulated principles that you promise to follow?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. And no intoxication. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Are you sober at this moment? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
this, we'll try to make it easier now. How many rounds do you promise to chant?
Minimum 16.
And the next one is voluntary, but is there anything else you would like to say?
I would like to also promise to at least dedicate at least an hour to Prabhupada's books each day and study.
Very good. Yes, that's very good. Everyone should do that. Yes. Srila Prabhupada said that distributing his books will keep the devotees happy, and reading his books will keep them. Keep them from mine. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I'm pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple, and henceforth you will be known as Narottam Das. Nara means man, and Uttama means the best. So the best of men is Krishna. Narottam is a name for Krishna. But in our line we have a very important devotee who wrote many wonderful devotional poems and songs. He was personally empowered by Lord Chaitanya, and his name is Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam Das includes being the servant of Narottam Das Thakur. So, congratulations to you all. And now we will have the fire ceremony. The fire is considered to be representation of God, Vishnu, or Krishna. And by reciting the mantras of glorification of our spiritual masters and Krishna and offering grains into the fire, we're offering ourselves in their service. And just as the fire burns to ashes, the ghee and grains that are offered to it. So Krishna, at the time of initiation, and the parampara, they burn to ashes our sinful reactions, which will enable us to progress in bhakti yoga and understanding Krishna and loving Krishna.